Okay? All right. We have been looking and focusing a lot on getting to know Jesus. And by form of a question, do you know my Jesus? And it's looking at Jesus in all these different ways and aspects that the Bible speaks of Jesus and His character and His nature. And the idea behind that, as much as we started at the beginning of this year with looking at God and a relationship with God, it's getting to know Jesus in a relationship. And the more that we get to know Him in a relationship, then in a sense what that does is it takes us and moves us from the idea of knowing about Jesus and knowing a lot of facts about Him to knowing who He is in a very special relationship. And so we've talked about the different natures of Jesus and character of Jesus. We looked at Jesus as a creator, for example. We talked about Him as Emmanuel, which means God with us. We talked about Jesus as the Word, as the teacher, and as a servant. And so this morning, I want us to focus our attention on Jesus as the Lamb. Now, the reason this is so important is because, you know, you can know Jesus in a lot of different ways. And all of these different aspects of Jesus, to know Him in those ways. But if you don't know Jesus as the Lamb, okay, then you're missing out on perhaps one of the most significant aspects of who Jesus is. And again, we're not talking about just knowing about what the Bible says Jesus about Jesus being the Lamb of God, but it's getting to know Jesus as your Lamb of God. See? So let's take a look at Jesus as the Lamb. And so we start out in John chapter 1. In the text that was read for us this morning, we look at the sacrificial Lamb of God's providing. And so what we see here, as Jesus is walking on the way, and John sees Jesus and he points out Jesus to his disciples and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, the interesting thing about this statement is that I understand from those who are Hebrew scholars and scholars of the language of the day is that the words that John used here that are written in Greek for us are the same words that Abraham used when he and his son Isaac were going up the mountain where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain. And as they were going up the mountain, his son Isaac said to him, he says, "Father, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham responded to his son by saying to him, "God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice." He says, "God Himself will provide the lamb." And so when John, as recorded here for us in this text, when John points out that Jesus is the Lamb of God, literally what it says there is, "Behold the sacrificial Lamb of God's providing." So the importance and the significance of that as we get to know Jesus as the Lamb is that just as Abraham was provided the lamb for the sacrifice by God, God provided for us the lamb that would be used in the sacrifice that would be offered for our sins. If you go over to Exodus chapter 12, and there we find the instructions that Moses and the Israelite people were given concerning the Passover and preparing for that first Passover meal that they would share. And understand that the whole reason for that Passover meal to be eaten and prepared was because they were getting ready to leave Egypt. Now, what that means is, And you have to understand the significance was, as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, you have to understand what their situation was in Egypt, because it wasn't like they were just leaving Egypt like, you know, we left South Carolina last week and came home. You see, we've been there for a visit. Oh, no, no, no. They were leaving a life of generations of bondage in slavery. And that's what God was preparing them for, was to be able to leave the land of Egypt and leave behind them the bondage that they had been in. And so God prepared the Israelite people for their leaving that situation they were in of bondage, and involved and included in that preparation was this Passover meal. And it was a meal that was to be prepared, the Bible says, in haste, because they were going to be leaving real quickly. But part of that meal, the perhaps the most significant part of that whole Passover preparation, was the lamb that was to be prepared very specifically. And part of what was to be done with that lamb was that they were to take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it on the doorpost of their homes. And what that blood did was it signified to God their acceptance of His salvation. And when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, any home that had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost was passed over. See? And there was no death in that home. But any home that did not have the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the firstborn of that home died. And it was because of that that Pharaoh was finally convinced to allow the Israelite people to leave the land of Egypt, thus leaving their bondage to slavery behind. And so now, all of these centuries later, we look at, and what we just celebrated here a few moments ago, what was exactly that. It was a remembrance of that Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with His disciples on the night before He died. The Apostle Paul tells us that we remember that, or we celebrate that commemoration. See, and when we do it, whenever we do it, we remember His death until He comes again. Okay. So what we are celebrating is the Lamb of God whose blood was shed so that we could be free, not from the bondage of physical slavery, but from the bondage of sin that Satan otherwise would hold us in. You see, it's all about the blood of the Lamb. For without the blood being shed, there would be no freedom. Just like with the Israelites, if they did not put the blood on their doorpost, then they would suffer the death. Today, anyone who refuses to accept the blood of the Lamb remains in bondage to sin. And if they die in that condition, then they will suffer an eternal death away from God. So you see, it's all about the blood of the Lamb, isn't it? You see? It's all about the blood of the Lamb. And so when John saw Jesus that day, and even the next day, and he pointed out Jesus to his disciples and said, "Behold, look, take a look at the sacrificial lamb that God has provided, the one that will free us from our sins." That's what the message was all about. And so we need to, first of all, look at Jesus and understand when we see Him in this capacity as a lamb, that He is the sacrificial lamb that God provided for us. And then we go back and we look at what were the promises concerning this lamb that God had given to the Israelite people. And how do those promises affect us today? What do they mean to you and I today in our relationship with the lamb? If you go over to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah was a prophet. He's one that prophesied a lot about the coming of the Messiah. And that's why he's referred to that way. And specifically, he speaks in this particular passage about the suffering of the lamb that would die for our sins, that sacrificial lamb. And look at what he says beginning in verse 7. He, that is the lamb, was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. And so you see, even Isaiah way back then prophesied about what was going to take place when this sacrificial lamb of God's providing, what was actually, when the time came for him actually to be sacrificed, this is what his attitude was going to be. He was going to be led to the slaughter, and yet he wasn't going to object. You go over to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 12, and you look at Jesus as he stands before Pilate. Matthew 27 and verse 12, when he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. The lamb was silent as he was being led to the slaughter. In Acts chapter 8, recorded in verse 35, the Ethiopian eunuch had been reading from this very passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 53 when Philip encountered him, and Philip asked him if he understood what he was reading, and the eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And what it records for us there is that Philip began, listen to this, Philip began at that very passage of Scripture. That's where we are right now, Isaiah 53. Philip began at that passage and preached unto him Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Do you know Jesus in that way? You see? Do you know Jesus as your sacrificial lamb that God provided to you? Do you know Jesus as that promised lamb? You see? And then finally, do you know Jesus as the one who had been presented? That is, the presented lamb. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I stop for a moment and I think about it. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. And at times I have asked myself the question that has to do with, why did God choose this form, this way to redeem us from our sins? Why a cross? Why hang Jesus on a cross? And some would reply, well, that was the normal form of execution of the day. Well, yes, that's true, but why did God choose that time and that place to do what He had planned to do? I don't think it was by chance and it wasn't by accident. The Apostle Paul says, when the time had fully come. In other words, when God had everything ready the way He wanted it to be ready, then He sent His Son. See? And there's a reason, I believe, why the cross. And why is the cross so significant to us today? You see, and there's a symbol there, isn't there, that reminds us of what Jesus did. And that, I think, has to do with what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. He says, "But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's kind of a humbling statement, isn't it? So if you think that you've never sinned, think again. Okay? All have sinned. And if you're a part of all, and I think everybody in here is, okay, we're part of all, then we've sinned. And we've fallen short of God's glory. But look at what he says as he continues. "And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Well, how did that redemption come? The next statement, I think, is the significant part here. It says, God presented him. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Did you see what it said? God presented him. The word in the Greek language that is used there, prothithamai, means literally to place in public view. Yeah. So you see, the sacrificial lamb of God's providing wasn't just offered as a sacrifice in some dark alley somewhere. He wasn't killed for our sins in a back room of a dungeon somewhere that nobody really saw or knew about. You see, it's significant for you and I to understand that God presented the Lamb that He had provided. He presented Him on a cross on the top of a hill so that everybody could see and behold the sacrificial Lamb of God's providing. God presented Him to us in that way. It literally means that God has publicly exhibited Jesus Christ as the propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of men. He placed Him on a cross on the top of a hill, so that He would be in view of everyone. So that everyone would know, and no one would be able to deny, that the Lamb that God provided had indeed been sacrificed for our sins. So you see, He was the presented Lamb. Jesus Himself in John chapter 12 and verse 32 said, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to Myself." You see, God lifted Him up so that not only are we forgiven of our sins through His blood, but that men are drawn to Him so that we can be forgiven. And that's why God presented Him, put Him in public view, so there would be no doubt to anyone as to what was going on. It wasn't a secret thing. It was done in view of the public, so everyone would know that Jesus had died. Do you know my Jesus as the presented Lamb? the one who not only has been sacrificed, but the one who has been placed in public view on the hill of Calvary, on a cross, that His blood was shed so that you could be free from your sins. You see, this isn't about just knowing about Jesus in that way. This is knowing Jesus as that Lamb, that sacrificial Lamb who is hanging on a cross, His blood flowing down for our sins. Just like the Israelites being freed from their bondage, that you and I and all men might be free from the bondage of our sins and reconciled to God through that blood. Do you know my Jesus in that way? We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song that's been chosen as an invitation song. And the purpose of that is for us to just to provide an opportunity for anyone that perhaps is here this morning that's going, you know, I've never known Jesus in that kind of a way. I want to get to know Him. And this is a great time for you to begin to get to know Him in that way. If you're not a Christian, you've never given your life to Christ, you're still separated from God by your sins. But the great news is that you can be reconciled to Him right now, this morning, by having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, thus accepting the blood of Jesus to wash your sins away. If you're already a Christian, but maybe perhaps you've not been living the way that you should be in faith to Christ Jesus, or maybe there's some kind of sin struggle that you're having with Satan that you need some help with, whatever it might be that's going on, we want to be able to help with that. And so we extend an invitation for anyone to come and to say, I need prayers, I need encouragement, I need help, I need forgiveness, I need to be baptized into Christ. Whatever your need is, we want to take care of that for you this morning. So let's stand together and sing.